This is part two of World Watchers. It's Mae Brussel. I just want to bring up a few more points and get back to a very controversial subject that I completed the broadcast with last week. There was an Oktoberfest massacre in Germany, a meeting in Munich, Germany, a fall festival of people, and 12 people were killed this last week, and 144 were wounded. There was a large sniping at the crowd, and a woman claimed to belong to a right-wing extremist group that tore into the crowd at the beer festival. One of their own members was killed, and they were hoping, of course, to probably blame it on the left. But then this woman was weak and said that the far right wing were behind it. There was Gundolf Kohler. He's a banned Nazi leader. He's a member of a banned group. And there are many Nazis at the meeting, the Oktoberfest. And by gunning them down and trying to blame it on the left, it would get sympathy for the right movement. The same party that confessed to this said that they're linked to the bombings in Bologna, Italy, the train station massacre where 83 people were killed last month. For some reason, the far right wing enjoys just killing into the mass, into the scene, to create terror and uncertainty so that people won't know which way to turn and will plead with the police to settle their matters. The violence in the United States, the terrorist groups that were here when Ronald Reagan was governor, and I'll get to those in a minute, were done against people at random, most of them at random, again, killed, but the people who were charged with the killing were selected carefully and trained carefully, and it was a connive thing. It wasn't done spontaneously by a person who just went crazy. There was an article this week, also a UPI story, two Chicago policemen are suspected of manufacturing silencers in their homes. They put them on 22 caliber automatic pistols and sell them to the mob hitmen in the Chicago Sun-Times reported. They seized the equipment of patrolman Richard Madega, a silencer equipped with a 22 automatic and a 38 caliber machine gun. The men resigned from the police force because they were giving the Chicago mobsters silencers to go out and kill. Unfortunately, I think we will see a race war in this country. I think if there's unlimited weapons and the police work with the mob and are racist, you're going to have to face up to the fact of a race war in this country as the Klan and the Nazis, the Minutemen, arm. They're dead set on stopping any movement socially of blacks or minorities into the mainstream of our lives. And so is the middle class, and so is the upper class that funds them. They are the buffer between the Wall Street board members who supply these people with the noxy and the know-how and the equipment and the police protection to do what they're doing, and the police departments are part of it. Last week, speaking of violence on the right, instead of digressing to other news articles I did want to get into, I ended the program talking about the death of Robert Linkletter's son. A controversial subject, news story, wasn't in many papers, maybe a one-inch story in a lot of papers. Robert Linkletter, 35, son of entertainer Art Linkletter, died from injuries in a traffic accident in West Los Angeles. The woman who went into him has not been charged. No charges have been filed. The case remains under investigation. It went on to say, Linkletter lost a daughter, Diane, when she leaped to her death at the age of 20 in 1969 under the influence of LSD. The husband of another Linkletter daughter committed suicide 3 months later. Well, I have a copy of a letter here that was mailed. The woman has her address, so she's not shy to put it down. She has her address and telephone number. And she wrote this in 1971 to attention Judge Charles Franek. He was the judge who was attending to the trials up in the Santa Cruz area. He was the judge for all three trials of Robert Frazier, Herbert Mellon, and Edmund Kemper. And I don't want to go into all the details of each trial, but just briefly to show some of the terror on the right and how it came down in California and continues all over the world at this time. This woman wrote a letter to Judge Franek and also to the Redwood City Tribune. And she said, finally, the L.A. Times had a story about the trial of the murder of the Odas and their secretary. That is a doctor, a prescribed glasses who lived in the Santa Cruz area, and I'll go into the Oda murder just briefly in a second. This woman said, you asked if I was certain if it was Frazier with Robert Linkletter in Woodland Hills less than a month prior to those killings. She goes on to say that he was wearing glasses. The van that Robert was driving, I recall, this was not printed in the Times. I have reason to believe Robert, this is Linkletter, was driving north last Thursday. And if you're observant, you saw him snickering in the courtroom, watching how his murders are being taken care of. There, the man Frazier, John Frazier, who was charged with Oda killing, is trying to find at the rear of the courtroom, does Frazier know about the organization of killers called the International White Guard? Does he fear his wife will be killed if he were to name Robert Linkletter, and he mentions other members of the family, who Diane Linkletter was hearing, this honorable organization of killers? Robert was also identified as the Zodiac killer by his sister 3 days before her death. She had read his first message that was partly coded. I never could believe she committed suicide any more than her brother-in-law, John Zweier, did. She said she had been shot by Robert. Both Diane and John were witnesses the night of the Tate murder. John did turn down, it goes into about a bribery that was offered him that he turned down in details of the killings. Robert is about 27, and that would jive. This was written in, as I say, 1971, and then it would fit in with his age at this particular time. He was 27, she goes on. He wears a wig, and sometimes he looks almost bald. He lets his beard grow and so forth, and he has different wig lengths. And I knew him as both Robert Linkletter and the Zodiac when he was in Los Angeles. And this woman goes into that she drove a school bus and that she used to see him in Van Nuys and Ventura, and that she knew him. And she said, you should check his fingerprints with Dr. Oda and the glasses that were prescribed that he lost the night of the Tate murders. The night that Sharon Tate and the other people at her home were killed, allegedly Charles Manson was charged with the crimes but was never in the house. It was Charles Watson. There were glasses found on the floor of the house that have inside the house that were never admitted. Nobody ever traced those glasses and who prescribed them or who they belonged to. They didn't belong to any member of the Manson family that was in the house. They didn't belong to any member of Sharon Tate's entourage that were killed. Now, I called David Tosche. He was the police investigator in San Francisco in 1976, and asked him if he had ever heard any allegations that this person was linked to the Zodiac killer. The reason I bring this up now is that the killing of Robert Linkletter, his death at this time, is very important because all of these violences were directly linked to the people around Ronald Reagan and his counterintelligence group with Sheriff Peter Pitches, Evelyn Younger, Los Angeles Police Chief Ed Davis, the whole CIA Operation Chaos, the FBI COINTEL program, was concentrated into mass violences in California that were directly linked to Ronald Reagan in Sacramento at the time. And I had called David Tosche and asked him if he had ever heard about these allegations or the name of this person linked to the Zodiac killer. And he said, yes, we had his name 5 years ago. And I wrote this down. I don't remember. I don't think I tape record our conversation, but I wrote it as he said it. I said, was this ever cleared? He said, no, it was never cleared. And I said, was he ever arrested or charged? He said, no, we're not asking him any questions about it. Well, that was in 1976 that this conversation went on. In 1978, that was 2 years later, David Tosche was removed from the San Francisco Police Department because he was caught writing Zodiac notes to the San Francisco Chronicle, impersonating the Zodiac killer himself. Whoever was the Zodiac had disappeared or worked with the San Francisco Police Department, and Police Inspector David Tosche was removed from investigating the Zodiac murder case because there were doubts about the authenticity of the latest letters, and he was never charged, and there were secret hearings, and it was covered up why the San Francisco Police Department would be involved in this kind of terrorism in California. In any way, the chief investigator would be simulating letters. Interesting enough that The Zodiac killer first began writing letters in 1969. He confessed to 3 murders, and then later in 69 he confessed to another murder. And by 1971, he had sent letters to the San Francisco Chronicle that he had done 12. But in 1969, he wrote to Melvin Belli, the attorney in San Francisco, and said, "I wish you a Merry Christmas. I want you to help me. I cannot reach out for help because things in me won't let me. I find it extremely difficult to hold back and check. Will you help me?" Now, I've mentioned Melvin Belli many times. He's the attorney for Hermann Göring's wife, the widow, the Nazi, Hermann Göring. He's her attorney right now. He was attorney for Jack Ruby at the time that John Kennedy was killed. Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, attorney for Errol Flynn, charged with being a Nazi spy, attorney for the Hells Angels that worked closely with the Oakland police and the CIA and far right-wing organizations of terror. Melvin Belli was the person that whoever the Zodiac was earlier, he wrote to him for some help. It's interesting because when James Earl Ray was arrested in London for the charge of killing Martin Luther King, he asked for Mr. Haynes, the attorney. Mr. Haynes was a CIA attorney, acknowledged he worked with the CIA. He was active with the Bay of Pigs, the anti-Castro Cubans, the same people linked to the killing of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And when James Earl Ray was in London, he asked for the help of Mr. Haynes of the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Zodiac Killer asked for Melvin Belli. Ed Sanders, who wrote a book on the family called The Family, The Story of the Manson Affair, knew that I was doing investigations into these California violences. And in 1974, he wrote a letter to Paul Krasner, who had published my article, The SLA is the CIA. He said, this is part of his letter to Paul Krasner in March of 1974. "I've been totally involved preparing an article on the Santa Cruz murders for Esquire. With regards to Herbert Mullen and May Brussels' contention regarding zombie electrodes possibly implanted in Hawaii, I have obtained some documents regarding his psychiatric treatment there, the doctors who supposedly treated him, an indication he was involved in religious rites and was receiving some kind of treatment in Maui, M-A-U-I. Regarding the John Fraser case," that's the Oda case in Santa Cruz, and which brought in the Zodiac case, "I've become personally convinced that he was suckered into the event. Dr. Oda had $250,000 invested with Sharpies in San Jose, supposedly operating a Louisiana-based oil company, and they were burning him. By examining 2,000 or 3,000 pages of reports and interview transcripts regarding Frazier, I can't help but believe that he was set up to do it, but proving it is another thing." Now, whether he was set up or whether somebody else did it, and he was the patsy, it will take a long time to know. I've been corresponding with John Frazier, and it's in prison at Folsom. We've been corresponding for a long time. The last card I got from him was this last June, 1980. And at the bottom of the card, he said, "You suggested that when finished with your book, you would write to me. I was working on a book, and I still am, and I owe him a letter. Hopefully, it is only because you've been busy that you haven't written to me. Meanwhile, a word about Jim Jones and the CIA. But for now, there are no experimental techniques going on in Folsom. They are not necessary because of our isolation. Take care, John." I do get word from inside the prisons. Between 1970 and 1973, and this was just the interim before Jim Jones rented the property down in Guyana for experimentation and mind control, up till 1973, in that 3-year period, Santa Cruz County was referred to as the murder capital of the world. Between allegedly John Fraser, Edmund Kemper, and Herbert Mullen, 26 people were killed during this time period, and Judge Charles Franich had tried all the cases. A man from Stanford Research linked to mind control programs, Donald Lund, wrote a small book called Murder and Madness, put out by the Stanford Alumni Association. He referred to the murders in America. He said from 1970 through 1974, more Americans were killed in the United States than during the entire Vietnam War. These were the statistics of murder. As far as other countries, the United States has the most dramatic rise, about 100% in murders. That doesn't equal anything in any other country. In October 1970, just almost an anniversary, 10 years almost to the day, John Fraser was allegedly the person who killed a prominent eye surgeon. There was Dr. Oda, his wife, two sons, their secretary, one man, a hippie type, who carried tarot cards, the Knight of Wands, the Knight of Cups, the Knight of Pentacles, and so forth on his dashboard. One person was supposed to have bound up each one of these people and shot them, and their bodies were discovered, and the house was set on fire. The bodies were in a pool, and John Fraser was charged with these murders. There was a getaway car. There were two men in a car. There was every reason to believe that it was another person. If Fraser was there at all, there was another person involved, but Fraser didn't do these murders. But he was framed for them, and he's serving 5 life sentences in prison right now. There's some good articles in New West. I got a batch of them in a book sale, and I have them filed in separate compartments according to subject matter, but I just picked up a couple of old copies this morning, as a matter of fact. One, The Power Politician Behind the Badge, and it has Ed Davis on the cover. December 1977, The Chief of Police Who Would Be King. Ed Davis and Criminal Conspiracy Section of Los Angeles were making up many of the conspiracies in the state at the time. And I'm emphasizing the California violence is because this was Reagan's shtick. He was the governor when all this was going on, and very much part of the mind control team, and working with them carefully as we were going through the criminal conspiracy section, planning conspiracies. The Sheriff Peter Pitch is behind the violences in Los Angeles, LaBianca, and the Sharon Tate, and the Isla Vista, and the May Day moratoriums. It goes on and on, the California violences. There's another story I want to do with you that covers a later time period, but the same people involved. That's the Hillside Strangler that involves going up to Bellingham, Washington, a police cop that worked here in Fort Orange, out here in Seaside, California, the LAPD, and Mr. Kenneth Bianchi, and how he fixed up prominent politicians with women. And then after they have sex, you see, they can be murdered, and they make snuff movies, pornographic movies, of them being killed, and then they can't blackmail or frame the politicians. So you sell the movies besides. You fix up the politicians, use decals on your car that give you special privileges to pull up, snuff the women out, throw them by the side of the street, and then bring in more women. California is ripe with violences. New York had its Son of Sam, the same ilk, the same kind of a combine of police and counterintelligence and terror for a whole year in the city. But this kind of violence is something that has not yet been exposed and should be exposed, because it will increase tenfold, just as international terrorism on the right continues, because it has never stopped, and the courts don't prosecute these people or hold them down. They're released, and by their being released, they're free to go out and do more crimes. Speaking of release, the People's Temple had let out Charles Beekman. They had a lot of pressure down in Guyana with the government down there, and Mr. Beekman's trial has been dropped, and the trial against Larry Layton has been dropped, and they've been released after 2 years. They want to come home to the United States and forget about all the deaths in Jonestown, or the cutting of the throats of Mrs. Amos and the girls down there. Luckily, the House panel is going to investigate the Jonestown bloodbath. There was an article in the paper this week that the House, again, the House Intelligence Committee, is once more going into the allegations about Jonestown. Joe Holsinger, the aide for Leo Ryan, has asked for this investigation. And when it's inevitable that they go into it, then Jack Anderson gets on the bandwagon. It's 2 years, almost 2 years since the Jonestown massacre, but this week Jack Anderson had an article, and he's a trial balloon. When he puts something out, that means it's going to go forward. He wrote this week there's a $3 million lawsuit by the children of the late Leo Ryan. They're charging the State Department withheld information that could have prevented the murder of Leo Ryan. The House Intelligence Committee is going into disturbing allegations that, one, the CIA activities in Guyana were so great, and the CIA had links to Jim Jones and the People's Temple. Two, the CIA agent may have witnessed Ryan's assassination and then went back to the camp to see the murder of the 900 men, women, and children. The third allegation is the proof that the State Department knew of the danger that Leo Ryan was going to and didn't tell him. Jack Anderson said that Richard Dwyer, and this is what Joel Holsinger has been saying, the CIA agent, was at the airport when Ryan was killed, and when Jim Jones was about to die, he yelled, it's on the microphone, on the FBI tapes, get Dwyer out of here before something happens to him. I'm not talking about you, Daryl. I said Dwyer. And Jack Anderson wrote, Dwyer was deputy chief of the U.S. mission in Guyana. And this is the interesting thing about the Jack Anderson article. He said, who's who in the CIA, he referred to a book, Who's Who in the CIA, a reliable East German publication, mentioned that Richard Dwyer has been an agent since 1959. Now, that little book, Who's Who in the CIA, lists Mr. Rudolf Wenneker, the chief historian for the Warren Commission, who set the men to write the Warren Report. He's listed in the book, Who's Who in the CIA. Bill Moyer is listed in the book, Who's Who in the CIA. John McVicker, the man from the Soviet embassy that was responsible for Tsarist Marina Oswald to come to the United States, is written in the Who's Who in the CIA. Richard Snyder, the man in the embassy that worked with Lee Harvey Oswald of Navy Intelligence, is written in the book, Who's Who in the CIA. When Jack Anderson begins to quote that little red book, which I got from East Germany and other researchers have had for many years, when he begins to quote that as being a reliable source, he better then get on to the other contacts of Lee Harvey Oswald with the Soviet Union and Marina Oswald, because all of their contacts there were with the Central Intelligence Agency, with Priscilla Johnson, with McVicker, with Snyder, and then, of course, Bill Moyer, the press secretary for Lyndon Johnson after Kennedy was killed. Jack Anderson went on to say that Jonestown Commune had large supplies of Quaaludes, Valium, Demerol, Thorazine, with links of Jones possibly to drug trafficking, organized crime, plus law enforcement agencies. Now, that is the problem that we have in the United States. It's more important than talking about whether Jimmy Carter is going to win or Ronald Reagan is going to win. What is happening in our country is something that we have to become aware of and pressure them to do something, whoever wins the presidency. Both candidates come out of the same fabric. They're not going to go into anything unless they're forced to. They don't care who killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. They don't care about political assassinations, mind control, poisoning, pollution, exploitation, the Klan, the Nazis. They're only going to care as much as you care. If lifeguards are getting cancer, soldiers are getting cancer, Agent Orange, if the Klan is armed, it's up to you to tell them what you think should happen. It doesn't really matter which one becomes president. They'll only move as far as you want them to do. That is the truth. And so the main thing is not who is going to win the presidency, but what do you want them to do with it. When Jack Anderson makes a statement that Jim Jones' operation was involved, A, drug traffic, B, organized crime, C, law enforcement, and D, the CIA, you have that recipe and formula that I talk about every week for the past 9 years on radio programs. The federal government, the Central Intelligence Agency, law enforcement, which includes the State Department, the FBI, the local police, the San Francisco police that were giving arms to Jim Jones, Stanford Research, the doctors and scientists. When you get the mob, the drug traffickers, the police, and the intelligence community, you have a combine that unless you overthrow it in some way and look at them as having invaded your territory or your privacy as a private citizen, unless you recognize that that combine goes all the way from early rearming after World War I up to the present, gun smuggling, narcotics, federal agencies, and the intelligence community, unless you can break them apart some way, you are going to have to be victims of whatever oppressions or poisonings that they want to give to you. That is the combine. I came across them one by one as I unraveled the Kennedy assassination, starting with the federal agencies that covered up the killing of John Kennedy, the FBI, the CIA, Navy Intelligence, the local police department. And then in comes the mob, the links of Earl Warren, And Richard Nixon organized crime, and the anti-Castro Cubans that had organized crime control down in Cuba and wanted back the gaming tables, the Vegas crowd, Mo Dalitz, and the crime syndicate involved Genovese and that group, and Robert Mayhew and Rosselli and Carlos Gambino, and you get organized crime with the federal agents. And the drug trafficking comes in. These criminals are given the freedom to do drug trafficking in exchange for helping with the assassinations of presidents and heads of states. And the intelligence community can weave Lee and Marina Oswald in and out of their particular agencies into Dallas with the intelligence community, George de Bornschild of the CIA and Max Clark and George Bowie and Paul Rygotarski and John Connolly. When you weave those elements into an assassination to kill the President of the United States, and then you study what preceded it and what followed it, you can understand how just a test case of mass massacres down Jonestown are nothing. Jimmy Carter said at the time that over 900 people died, mostly poor and black, and approximately 130, 170 left who were white and slick and set up assassination teams and knew the way out. Took the boats out, could get over to Venezuela, could get to Matthews Ridge, could go to Barbados. They got out. They flew to Florida. They flew into the United States. The poor black were dead and face down, put face down. And Jimmy Carter said, let's not overreact. I have a friend who said she wouldn't vote for Carter just for that one thing at the time of Jonestown, because it's indicative of how he protects American citizens and allows gun running, smuggling, narcotics, experimentation, and so forth. It was important that Jack Anderson made this leap from Jonestown to the intelligence community, and I'm dwelling on it at length instead of covering a lot of other material because it's important. As I say, he's a trial balloon, and the congressional committees are not through with Jonestown. They're going to investigate, again, the links of the CIA to Burnham, the overthrow. There was a coup in Guyana years earlier, and Burnham was put in by the United States corporations. Jim Jones worked with them. Georgetown has the largest air base in South America. The CIA was sending troops to Angola. Larry Layton, who was released from jail, was a mercenary for the CIA troops to Angola. Thank goodness the Congressional Committee will do some work, and what they don't do, somebody else will do later. It's like the Kennedy assassination. The pieces will be put together in time, and we'll find the same recipe for all of the terrible crimes that have been happening to other people. The main thing is to stay alert so they don't rub off and start happening to us. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. You take care this week. Our time is up, and I'll be back with you next week on KLRB.